This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Murder Homes is a production of iHeartRadio. Lance Zoll is the owner of the Lizzie Borden Bed and Breakfast. Lance has spent a fortune meticulously renovating the home so that it's historically accurate, while also updating it along modern hotel safety guidelines. Ever wonder what it would be like to run a murder home bed and breakfast? We talked to Lance all about it in this special bonus content for True Crime Plus subscribers.
Thanks, Lance, for speaking to me. Could you tell us just a little bit about just why you were interested in purchasing in the first place? If you were in love with a story or you saw it as an opportunity?
Yeah, so an employee of mine sent me the article talking about how the house was for sale. And we'd already had a plan to try and do more with haunted locations. We were thinking about doing ghost hunts and things. And Lizzie Borden House was actually on our list of places to go and visit and do that. And our plan was basically to rent space from them so that we could do something with our tours or start new ghost hunts. And when it became for sale, I looked into it. I thought it's better just to own it and own that place than it is to try and do something and partner with it. It was also something new and it was something different for the company and for me. And once I had the opportunity to tour through the house, meet the staff, kind of see the house for myself, spend a night there, and then get an understanding of how things were being run there, then it was clear to me that it was also a really good opportunity. We've always been about the history first, and Lizzie Borden House is a piece of American history and is special to a lot of people. And it was just a really, really great opportunity, especially, you know, if you compare it to a lot of other houses that are famous that have come out on the market in the last few years.
What are some of the other, just some of the ones you're thinking about there? Because the one that stands out most of all is yours, you know?
I mean, there are other places that have a reputation for being haunted and they were on the market for a lot of money. For example, a Conjuring House. I looked at that house, but that was on the market for $1.2 million. And I think it was 2 or 3 years before it was purchased for about $450,000. And, you know, the business numbers for Lizzie Borden House look solid. I mean, they had an operating history dating back to the late 1990s. Right. They had an established client. So it made a good business decision. Whereas the Conjuring House wasn't, it didn't have financials. It was losing money when you account for all the expenses. And on top of it, the Lizzie Borden House has history, has real history. There are people that were actually murdered there.
Yes.
Conjuring House, no one died. It's Hollywood hype. And a lot of people claim that it's haunted, but there's no history to it. Yes, it's an old house, but there are a lot of old houses around the country. So we try to focus our spend in places that have real history to it. A lot of that happens to be murder. So Lizzie Borden House is perfect because it had that history, and then it also had a business foundation.
That's great. I think that with guests, I was very curious about a typical guest who might be interested in staying there.
I think the typical guest that wants to stay there is looking for a new, unique experience. Not everybody that go there is looking for kind of a haunting, because the Lizzie Borden House is many things to many people. There are many people who are fascinated by the unsolved mystery of the Borden murders. And some of those people have written books. They've spent decades studying about the case, and they're very passionate about it. And I'm very fortunate and lucky to have a following that really cares strongly about that. So for those people, they're there because they like to study, they like to see the crime scene. They like to maybe talk about how the murders may have happened, or who may have done it, or how Lizzie Borden may have gotten away with it. So there's that aspect. And then you have the people who want to go because they want to do a ghost hunt. But I would say most of the population are people who they fall in between. They're not history buffs. They don't know anything about the case.
Right.
And they're not ghost hunting people, but they're curious. They want to know what the talk is about. They want to learn about the history of the case. And maybe even if they're a little bit scared, but they want to see if something might happen. So it's just another form of experience where you might go to Disneyland to laugh and have fun and go on rides. You might go to a comedy show to laugh. It's just a new, different type of experience for people to enjoy. And so that's why when I took over the house, I was always told, well, you have to pick and cater between the history crowd and the paranormal crowd. And I said, you know what? We're not going to cater to anybody. We want Lizzie Borden House to be a place where anybody can come and enjoy themselves, regardless of the reason for them coming to the house. So I would say early on in the transition, there were some difficulties, I think, with some customers, mainly because it was a transition period. We were making a lot of changes really quickly, just from right out the gate. And there were a lot of people that had personal relationships with former staff or former owners, and they were used to getting certain things, whether it was a free stay or something else that we weren't offering anymore. And usually people don't like change, and they're, you know, typically resistant to change. So I would say it was definitely a little rocky in the beginning stage. I mean, there were a lot of rumors that were swirling around that were really unhelpful, but I think we weathered that really, really well.
What was one of the rumors you were having difficulty with in Fall River?
Various rumors about me personally that I've heard. You know, I got some hate emails from people based on things that were just untrue. Some people said that the house wasn't going to be open to guests anymore. Some people said that we were going to like get rid of the stove in the kitchen, which was not the case. Actually, a Smithsonian article said that I was getting rid of the stove, but we're not using the stove to cook on. That doesn't mean we're like getting rid of the antique stove. That stove wasn't original to the house.
Yes, that's it. And just to stop right, because the stove is the big controversy. It was mentioned in the Wall Street Journal article. Again, it's a reproduction. So to back up the stove for listeners,
that's where Lizzie Borden burned her dress when she found out that she was a suspect for the crime. But that's not the original stove that she had in the house. Yeah,
right.
But it's still important for our tour. We want to show a replica stove. So I think it's still great to have that stove there. But that stove was a threat to burning the house down. It had an open flame, very antique stove, like late 1800s stove, early 1900s stove. And then guests would blow out the pilot lights, or if a window was left open, a breeze would come in, blow out the pilot light, and then the house would fill with air. Yeah, and then guests would smell gas. They'd have to evacuate. They'd have to call the fire department. Even the winter time before I owned it, the guests would have to evacuate out in the cold in the winter. Like you pay to stay at a place.
Right.
You don't want that. And also, if you're the fire department, I don't want the fire department to have to come and waste their time, especially if they could respond to a real emergency. But it puts people's safety and lives at risk. And it also risks burning down the entire house.
And all right. And all you did was move the stove from one part of the kitchen to another
to
part.
To a place where it's more visible for everybody to see in the kitchen when they're on the tour, because before it wasn't as visible, but it's actually more visible where it is in the back of the kitchen. So it's easier to see. And now when we cook breakfast, it's in a different place in the room to cook. So yeah, a lot of the changes that we made, there were a lot of rumors that just flat out weren't true.
I just wanted to come back to something about the house itself. With reproductions and renovations, what is original? I guess I have a morbid sensibility. And if I was there, I'd want to touch something or see something that was original to the house itself at the time of the murders. What would that be? Is it like the banister or the staircase or the stairs themselves or just infrastructure?
Yeah, there's a banister that's original. I would say for sure, and my favorite piece of the house are the radiators, the silver radiators. That's the first thing that I noticed when I went into the house, because I'm a big fan of Art Deco and Art Deco design. So these radiators, just beautiful Art Deco design in the house. And a lot of people like to talk about how Andrew Borden was a cheapskate and he was this, or they try to vilify him. And I think that's really unfair. I think, especially as a murder victim, and he never really got justice for the for his murder. They talk about how he was super, super cheap. They didn't have this, they didn't have that, yada, yada, yada. But he installed these radiators in the early 1890s. Mm-hmm. Like, that's big deal. It was a luxury back then. Most people didn't have that. So it was absolutely a luxury in their house. Yeah, they didn't have running water. They didn't have bathrooms. But it's not like you're just going to snap your fingers and all of a sudden you have everything. Right. And it was also not unusual for people to be frugal back then either.
Correct. But I'm assuming also the beams, like anything that's structural, is also the house itself.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the basement, you know, you can look up in the wood beams and you can actually see some of the areas where the blood stained the wood. We're going to be starting our podcast from the house, U.S. Ghost Adventures podcast, underneath where that blood stain is in the basement, coincidentally. You know, the brick in the basement, a lot of those areas are original. Just have to be careful for sure what you say is original, whatnot, because some of it was restored during the house's long history of going from different stages. And that's something that we're trying to catalog, is talk about the history of the house from where it was constructed until today. And let's talk about all the things that the prior owners of the house did to contribute to get that house to where it is today. The prior owners before I had it, Donald Woods, owned it with Leanne, and they did so much to that house. And then the owners before that, Mrs. McGinn, did a lot to that house to get it, even to open it as a house. So I'm trying to really catalog the history and genesis of the house, because I think that's a really neat story in itself.
That's cool. And have you ever had a guest who just can't take it? You know, that they're sort of it's not about asking for a refund, just they're emotionally maxed out by the staying there and they have to leave in the middle of the night, or there's screaming. Has there been an incident like that?
There are often people that leave because they're just scared or something happens and then they just leave. And then you have people that come as a group and then they stick it out. I think if you're there and you have somebody to support you, it really depends on the person. So we get some people that are absolutely terrified and they do make it to the morning, but they may not sleep through it.
And this little like continental, is there like granola or something to help comfort them?
Yeah.
Orange juice.
And in the first 2 weeks, I talked to a lot of guests and a lot of them would share the stories to me, but they were kind of embarrassed to share the story. I think a lot of people don't want to share these stories because they feel like they'll be kind of seen in a different light or ostracized, or kind of like they're crazy. So we've had some normal people who experience things and say, I've never experienced anything. I'm a total skeptic. I didn't believe any of this, and this happened and that happened. And so what we're trying to do at the house is get people to talk about those experiences, get them to catalog it. So one of the things we've done is we've had these books, people who have written about their experiences in the Lizzie Borden house dating back to the 90s. And we are recording in a spreadsheet and trying to take this written information from the 90s and then put data to it. So we're trying to get data behind what rooms have what experiences and what are most common, because one of our employees had an experience, Joseph, when we were in the Andrew and Abby bedroom. He saw a figure in a white nightgown walk past him and try to open the bathroom door, which was locked at the time, and it was just wiggling. And he said, did you try to open the bathroom door last night? It woke me up, and you were wearing a white nightgown. And I said, I don't wear white nighties to bed. And then, no, definitely wasn't me. But the funny thing is, we've also had other people report, and these people don't know each other, the same thing. They see a figure in a white, it's believed to be Mrs. Borden, walk in the night, white nightgown in the room as if she was going somewhere in her room. So there are a lot of things that we're trying to put data behind, a lot of these things that people have experienced in the house and witnessed, so that we can better understand what's happening and piece that together.
If there was another house out there, like we were talking about the Valaxa axe murder house, if there was one you could buy next and refurbish and could be your next murder ghost home, like which one would it be if it could be anyone in the world?
Ooh, murder home. I would say, yeah, Villisca would be amazing. Although I have visited the Villisca house. I have met with Martha, and I will say it, Martha is at 86 years old. She is the most impressive, intelligent, well-spoken, good, kind person I've ever met. She But she's an incredible person, and I have a lot of respect for her and what she does. But yeah, Vliska Axe Murder House is great, and it's really way off the beaten path. It's like a little more than an hour drive from Omaha, which is the nearest big city. Hmm. But the one house that's like I would absolutely love to be a part of and own at some point would be a Winchester Mansion, sort of murder house. And then I would say the Eastern State Penitentiary outside of Philadelphia.
That's great. And thanks for hopping on the call and talking about it.
You got it. Thank you.
This is Murder Homes. I'm Matt Marinovich. I hope you enjoy this bonus content for True Crime Plus subscribers. Stay tuned for more bonus content in upcoming episodes.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.